Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello.
I forgot to unmute my mic there for a second.
we've all had little slip-ups here and there. It's all good.
Man, oh man. So, how has your last week been? Have you had a whole lot of time to actually get into the gaming?
I have. The lovely thing about a small child is that you can not leave them unattended. And for those who thought I was going to say that, you're terrible people. Why think so lowly of me? They are very small and they fit in these cuddly little places. Like, we have a swing for Caden and he just...
Oh!
He goes into that and he sleeps, or he's wide awake and he just stares at things. I don't think babies can see right away. Like, they just see, like, they're like T-Rexes. They see through echolocation, I think is how it works, from what I remember. And
echolocation? Isn't that when you, like, send out a sound wave and then it comes back to you and you see something as a result of that?
Yeah, and you...
I don't think that's what babies do, Ryan.
Well, I'm glad you called me on that. It's funny, now that you mentioned bats and babies, all I can think about was those stupid, like, World Reports newspapers you'd see when you're cashing out as a kid, and it'd be like, Bat Boy escapes the hospital. That always terrified me.
So Ryan just had Bat Boy confirmed.
Yeah, he's pretty great. Caden's been sleeping a lot and just sort of content in his swing, which allows me to sort of play video games, and babies sleep, and Ashley needs her sleep, so when I'm trying to make sure the baby stays asleep and Ashley's napping, I can go off and play some games, which has resulted in me playing XCOM 2 a whole lot. Like, 35 hours. A lot.
Wow.
It came out Friday.
That is a lot. That's, like, not even a full week.
I know. It's
like epidemic. It's your job.
It's not my job. My job is to make sure Caden lives to see another day, which I've been doing fantastic at. It's just sometimes there's a lot of downtime because I don't smoke. I drink on occasion, so I don't have those hobbies to, like, go do while he's sleeping, which is what I assume most people do. What is this, Mad Men? I don't understand.
Most people, when their baby sleeps, just go smoke a lot and get real drunk.
Or sleep. There's that option. So I've also been napping, but really, like, truthfully, I've only played XCOM 2 over the last, like, 5 days. I even downloaded Firewatch and had every intention to play it until I crashed and napped because I was up until 4. My sleep schedule's all over the place. I'm surprised.
Yeah, you're a new father. That happened.
Yeah, and it's totally cool because it's like, now I am wide awake at midnight. What do I do? It's like, well, Caden's asleep, the little bugger. He's obviously asleep.
Hang out with me. I'm, like, always awake through the night.
Yeah, you want to play XCOM?
Like, you can't hit me up from, like, about 4 a.m. until about noon. But if it's outside those hours, I'm probably awake.
Yeah, no, I should do that. And honestly, like, we could play Call of Duty. I could watch you play Overwatch because I'm not in the beta yet. I'm not bitter.
I thought it kind of died off, but mm-hmm. I think now that they've started to do another wave of invites and people have again not gotten in, oh man, the amount of, like, negativity and anger around people not getting into the Overwatch beta is insanity.
Yeah, I mean, I joke, I'm not, like, actively out there screaming from the Twitter hilltops yelling about not being in the beta, because
we had people, like, in Twitch chat today we were streaming, like, yelling at us for being in the beta. It's like, out of my control.
Yeah, I think, like, it's just weird. We had that conversation before. Yeah. About why you give beta access to people who are going to stream the game. It's just like people who request video games for review. Like, everybody can request a video game for review. You really just have to follow through and actually cover the game. Mm-hmm. So when people squawk, like, oh, you're getting, you know, access, early access, the blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, it's because I'm doing what the developers want me to do, in that you're mm-hmm. playing the game in public, advertising it and testing it as well with all the new fun features that we're going to talk about later. Yep. Today.
So you've been playing a whole heck of a lot of XCOM 2. Mm-hmm. I watched Matt play some of it, and I don't know, it's just not the kind of game, I guess, that really appeals to me. Although I will say, like, it looks super cool. I just don't know if I could actually, like, sit down and play a lot of it. So I'm I guess, surprised and intrigued that you've played 35 hours of it. Are you done, like, the main campaign?
No. I don't think I'm... I think if I had to guess, I'd probably say I'm maybe halfway. Because the way the game works is it's like in Civilization where there's that ending, and it takes forever to get to that ending, but you kind of know your progress. But there's also these little things that pop up as you're playing the game, and the reason I reference Civ is this is the same developers for Axis, and with XCOM 2, they've overhauled what they call the strategy layer, which is all the stuff that happens in between your battles. So in the first one, you were defending Earth from the aliens coming, and in between battles, there would be basically you would manage your base, but you could also scan the world for alien activity. And it was just this giant button. You click it, it scans. In the sequel, they've overhauled it. So you're not just scanning the entire world. You're scanning specific spots on Earth, and you're slowly unlocking new countries to sort of manage the resistance. So you are sort of working with this resistance, this guerrilla army, to try and take back Earth from the aliens, because that's the cool part, is that they've made a sequel to the failure ending of XCOM 1.
Which I think is just super, super cool. Like, when you told me that, I was like, oh, wow, that's actually, like, a really interesting take, because usually... anytime there's any kind of sequel or anything, like, you have defeated whatever the thing was in the previous game. So, I mean, like, every Warcraft expansion, you've defeated, you know, Illidan or Arthas or, you know, Deathwing, whoever the big bad is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, same goes really in Mass Effect. Like, one way or another, like, you have defeated whatever's at the end of that game before you get the sequel. And then that's what's canon. So the fact that the aliens were successful in their invasion and then have now, like, integrated themselves into society, into kind of like, from what I, when I was watching, from what I could tell, they're kind of like a police, you're kind of living in a police state almost.
Yeah, very much 1984-esque type stuff going on. And it feels super awesome to have this unique take on the aliens are coming, because it's the opposite. Like, you are literally resistance fighters. You are seen as the enemy by sympathizers. And there are plenty of examples throughout history of this, you know, sort of example. But it's not really seen much in video games, because you're right. It's just the aliens are coming. We need to stop them. Mm-hmm. And the sequel to XCOM 2 literally could have been the actual plot, the Independence Day sequel they're working on, where it's like, you beat them, but there's more of them. And they're coming. And they've got bigger guns.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now they know that we can actually resist them, so they're coming with bigger guns, so we have to have better tactics or whatever. So. Yeah,
and that's boring, right? Like, so what? Now you have all of the guns and technology that the aliens left behind when you beat them, and then when the aliens come again, like, the designers now have to, I don't know, come up with a super plasma rifle for you to discover. it's
super mega ultrasonic plasmic thingamadooey.
Yeah, like, everybody knows plasma's like up here, and you can't go up past that. It's just plasma is like upper tier shit.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's a refreshing sort of story, and you really do feel like you're backed into a corner by this alien race that's taken over Earth. And the way the sort of game mechanics work is it's just like the first one, where there's the scanning mode, but you're sort of building your resistance network by going over to different countries and making contact with them and building radio towers and just establishing a literal resistance network, which is super cool. And then occasionally, different types of missions will pop up where it's like, oh, there's a facility that counts towards the Avatar Project, which is basically the progress meter for the aliens winning the game. And, you know, a facility will pop up. It's like, oh, we discovered a facility. If you destroy it, you'll take down the Avatar progress by 2 squares. Or if you let it run, the Avatar Project will continue to progress, and that's how you lose.
Okay.
Yeah. And then there are other missions where, in the first one, when every month you'd get a supply drop and it would just be like, here's some credits. In this, you literally get a supply drop, and it's dropped somewhere random on Earth, and you have to fly your little ship on a mini map and click a scan button. And then as you scan, days progress, and it's the strategy layer is what kept me going. It's like, oh, just one more scan. Oh, there's a battle. I guess I better do the battle so I can go back and scan. And then before you know it, it's 4 a.m. and you've got 30 hours played. It's really not that hard to, if you get into it, like it's got its claws in deep. I'm smitten.
Well, and I know because the only controller that XCOM 2 actually supports is the Steam controller. So have you stuck to the Steam controller, or have you gone to mouse and keyboard, or are you, you know, how are you actually playing?
I'm glad you brought that up because I was just going to keep geeking out about XCOM 2, but this is really cool. So I got a Steam controller and I've been playing different games with it, and it wasn't really clicking until I played XCOM 2 with it, because XCOM 2 does not have, as you say, the controller support, but you can play mouse and keyboard games with the Steam controller, and the configurations, you just basically, before you pop in the game, you go to manage game and you say download configuration. The configuration was actually made by the developers. Oh, so cool. It's somewhat close and it works. It's really solid. I've been playing more on the TV than I have been through the Steam Link. I had to switch my router because everything kept freezing. So I switched my router, so everything's fine now. And then I basically play through the Steam Link with the Steam controller on the big screen. And really the toughest part is, obviously when you're playing on the PC, there's a bunch of shortcuts using the 1 through 6 keys to kind of navigate through your strategy layer and also your combat, which is awesome. But when you're using a controller, it's basically just using the D-pad. But because with the Steam controller, you can control your mouse cursor with one of the,
can you actually like hold it up and
show? Yeah, so like you use this little haptic thing. It's weird because it really just looks like a mini circular touchscreen. But when you actually touch it and you're using it, you get haptic feedback. So when you move the mouse, you're getting what feels like little rumbles as you're moving your finger along, and it slides really nicely. So when you're moving your cursor with just a touch of the touchpad, it just works really well and feels really great. And it is a solid way to play XCOM 2 and other point and click PC games. Would I play a first person shooter on with the Steam controller? Probably not. because there are great controllers that already work for that. And if you're building a first-person shooter, you're going to support the Xbox One controller. I think the real reason the Steam controller exists is because there are those games out there where it just does not make sense to add controller support, or it's too much work to do it at launch. So it's a nice alternative, and I've been really digging it. And I don't know, I was skeptical at first, and I found that's the majority of the way I've been playing the game is just with the Steam controller. And would I recommend it over the PC or the keyboard and mouse? Probably not. Like, if you're at your computer, you're not going to use a controller for this game. You have much more, because it's a point and click strategy game. Unless you can't use a mouse and keyboard, you should probably use the mouse and keyboard. But it's a nice alternative.
Fair enough. So do you think that there's going to be a lot more titles going forward that are probably going to support just the Steam controller, or is it just a fun toy but not necessarily a must-buy right now?
I think if you play a lot of PC games, there's always going to be that title that comes out that fits within the Steam controller need. But I find there's so few games that come out where, like, XCOM 2 is a really great example of something that could have controller support and has in the past but didn't launch with it. Therefore, the Steam controller is a good fit, because if you can apply controller support to it, then it's a good fit for the Steam controller and a nice sort of bridge. But I wouldn't expect people to need the controller for every PC game that comes out. You're better off investing in an Xbox One controller for your PC first. And then if you find, man, there's this really random situation where I want to play XCOM on my computer, on my TV, and I can't use a mouse and keyboard. My situation is not going to be for everyone. It's unique, yeah. But I dig it.
What I've actually been playing sitting in front of my TV, I didn't even realize was a title until literally about 10 minutes before it launched, because I was just sitting on the Xbox and I was like, I don't really want to watch Netflix. Like, I want to play something. And so I actually downloaded Super Meat Boy because it was like, hey, I recognize you from the 360. Do you want to play Super Meat Boy? And I was like, sure. And so while I was waiting for that to install, I was just kind of browsing the store. And then so I saw Unravel and I was like, this looks pretty cool. And so I read a little bit about it, and it's it wasn't that expensive. I think it's $20, so it was very, very indie. So I was just like, all right, you know what, I'm gonna pick it up and give it a try. And so I played some of it, I guess that was late Monday night, early Tuesday morning type timing. And it's all right. I like the idea and I like the art style. But so far, I've got to say, and I'm not that far in, I'm probably only about an hour and a half in, I don't love the controls. I find it kind of clunky.
Yeah, that game sort of came off as, it's a 2D scroller, right? Kind of?
It's like a physics platformer kind of a thing. Oh. So basically, like, you're this little dude named Yarny. You're made of yarn, spoiler alert. And then so you kind of, like, walk out of the house and you're walking through a field and foresty kind of area and stuff. Turns out water kills you, so don't fall in the water because you can't swim. You're as yarn, I guess. You get weighed down by the water. But you have to kind of use your yarn because you slowly unravel the further you move away from the house. So you have to, like, use your yarn to climb up and down things, to make bridges and slingshots and stuff like that to kind of transverse the world. And it's okay, but I find in general the controls are just not that intuitive, I guess. And it's probably just because I've been playing a lot of, like, Tomb Raider and then some first-person shootery kind of stuff. And I feel like I'm maybe not in the platformery mindset or something, but I mean, like, it just seemed so clunky. It is really the only thing I can really think to describe it. And, like, it's very obvious about what you have to do, at least at the point that I'm at in the game. There hasn't really been a time where I'm like, oh my God, where do I go now? It's literally like, there's, like, sparkly stuff, and I'm kind of wondering if that's something you can turn off. And it's so anytime that there's something you have to do, it sparkles. So, you know, points that you can throw your yarn to and it'll attach sparkles. Like, walls you can climb up will sparkle.
Okay.
And so I'm just kind of like, all right, so you're literally telling me each and every step of the way exactly what I have to do here. And maybe it's just a little bit too hand-holdy for me, but because of the mechanics, I've kind of been... Because it is a really story-driven kind of a game without actually giving you a story, I guess, is the best way to put it.
Okay.
You just kind of, like, start the game, and there's, like, a grandmother at the kitchen table sort of thing.
Does she hit you?
No, she drops a ball of yarn, and then all of a sudden you exist.
Oh, well, that's so fun.
Right?
Be better if, like...
That's what I thought, too. I'm like, oh, she's going to make me, and then I'm going to come alive. But, yeah, no,
I'm a real
really...
boy.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Hey, we're writing a better story. It's off to a great start.
So you just kind of, like, you kind of just walk, because you can't do anything else, and it teaches you the very, very basics. And then you get outside and you start to, like, you can see yourself unraveling because you're just kind of like one stick with, like, one loop around you instead of being like a solid yarn. Like, I'm sure you've seen Yarny all over the place.
Yeah.
Unravel's been really popular the last couple of days on Twitter and such. But it's definitely like you basically start to run out of yarn, and there is no way to do something like more or less efficiently. So it's not even like a puzzle of like, oh, how can I do this in the best possible way to conserve yarn? And then so you get to a certain point and then all of a sudden it's like a pile of yarn. And I'm like, and cause so then basically like you wrap yourself up again. And like when you find more yarn, you can continue on. But there's never a time where I've run out of yarn and there hasn't been another pile right there.
So at any point... has the Weezer song, the sweater song, come up? Like,
no.
Okay, because I feel like that's a missed opportunity. If that's not the credit theme, or at least like the post-scene credit song, I mean, I really think like that's a missed opportunity. And I've seen, it was sort of this and Firewatch that came out this week, the two indie darlings that people were sort of latched onto. And I mean, like, it's a cute little yarn game. Like, yeah, I mean, yeah, so what? Yoshi and Kirby already did it. Everyone shit all over Nintendo. EA goes and does it. And it's, oh my God, it's revolutionary.
So innovative.
Yeah. But
I haven't seen any titles using yarn at all in the last year.
The only difference is that this one's like a PC yarn set against Unreal Engine 4 or whatever. You know, the whole world is in yarn, guys. Mm-hmm. Just your character.
Yeah, exactly.
And he moves weird and he attacks a gopher. That's unfortunate, because this was that game where that really nervous guy came on stage during the E3 EA presentation, and he talked about how his friend Yarny saved his life, and they showed this game, like 30-second clip of it. And we all, I mean, I loved it. I thought it looked great. And then it's been getting some good reviews. And then I've seen some people talking about it, just non-journalists talking about it and not really digging it. Like, kind of, it's kind of short. It felt a little, like, it sounds like, to me, like you said, the puzzles kind of seem, I don't know, like, out there. And they don't really make sense.
Well, the thing is, like, and maybe it's just because I kind of just came off playing The Witness, but it is like the anti-Witness. There it is linear. You don't have any kind of like choice of the path that you take. Everything sparkles, so you know exactly what you have to do. It is definitely really heavy on the physics. So you can figure out exactly what you need to do, and then it all just comes down to like reaction time and pushing stuff in the right directions and hitting your jump button or your yarn throwy button at exactly the right moment. And then, yay, physics, you win. Yeah. So,
Maybe it's one of those games that I add to my Steam wish list. Like, that one's $20 alongside Firewatch as well being $20. And I'm all for shorter experiences. And to be honest, I've been dreaming about moving soldiers on a square grid attacking aliens. Like, I need some palate cleanser. And I had said to you, like, I was like, well, I saw you playing Unravel. Do you like it? I've been looking for something to sort of offset XCOM. And sadly, like, I kind of feel like The Witness after last week's episode, like I put a cap on it.
Yeah.
Which sucks because it's a $40 cap and I I wear like a $10 cap at best. But so I'm a little bummed to hear it's not that great. And
well, it's not that it's not great. It's just not the experience I'm looking for right now. Like, I am having so much fun in Heroes, playing with the girls, like Overwatch beta just opened up again, so I'm having a ton of fun with the guys playing in Overwatch. And then, you know, Matt and I have now finished Hyrule Warriors, and that was stupid fun. It seems like there's a lot of these like really stupid fun games, and Unravel is interesting and cute, but I find like, I don't know, maybe it needs more story, a better story, less hand-holding. It's definitely a casual title. Yeah. It's definitely not anything that's going to be, you know, over-the-top challenging in terms of at least, like, figuring things out. It is just literally so straightforward. It's like, you are here, there's a nail next to you that's sparkling, there's a big gap, and then there's a nail over here that's sparkling, so maybe you should throw your yarn across the gap.
It sounds like the the best way to describe your experience is like autopilot, which,
yeah,
you know,
it was really autopilot-y. But then at the same time, like I say, there was no like voiceover. There was no like, basically it's just kind of like I say, I walked outside of the house because you could only walk to the right. So I was like, clearly this is the way I'm supposed to go. But, you know, like there could have been a little bit more storytelling at the beginning somehow to give just context for what's going on. Like, so I think the idea is your family's like gone or something.
Your yarn family?
Yeah. Okay.
Wait,
not your yarn family. Okay. Like the family that lives in the house. So the grandmother that's there at the beginning, she just kind of like walks up the stairs, drops this red ball of yarn, and then is just not there anymore.
Grandma and dropping the ball. Like, literally.
A book, there's like a picture, not a picture book, a photo album that's basically all blurry. So it's almost like you have to find the people in the photo album.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, but I don't know. I didn't get pulled into it as deeply as it seems like a lot of the internet and a lot of the reviewers did. And okay. I don't know if I'm just missing some like big gaping piece at the beginning, but it just feels like I'm kind of like, all right, why?
you have to think with yarn.
I guess so.
Once you start thinking with yarn, you start to really grasp the plight that Yarny is going through. And there's some great conversation happening in the chat room about, you know, the launch of Firewatch and Unravel as being sort of more casual experiences, more art than game. And, you know, Looney Goon wrapped it up nicely saying, like, sometimes when I finish a bunch of, like, stressful hot logs, that's a website, hot smashes, it's like, oh, man, I just surf hot logs and then I get all sweaty and gross. It's like, no, don't do that. You know, he or she wants to go play something a little more casual, to turn the brain off and just go on autopilot. And it just sounds like Unravel's missing, I hate to use this stupid word, but like, you know how they call them walking simulators, but some of the better walking simulators have more bells and whistles around you to keep you entertained while you're walking.
Well, I mean, for me, the park is a perfect example of that. Really, really artsy. I actually never got to the end of it because it scared the crap out of me. But you literally are walking around an amusement park and you're being told a story and then you're solving puzzles. But the puzzles are basically just like finding more story pieces. And then mm-hmm. once you find a story piece, then it triggers something in the amusement park. Usually it's some sort of like something falling over and opening up a previously unavailable path.
Right.
But I mean, like playing through the park was very much a walking simulator, but it told a good story and scared the crap out of me to the point that I still haven't finished the last like 20 minutes of that game, because it's just like, I got to like the last area and I'm just like, no, I don't even need to know how this, like, I just want to Google it and I don't even want to see a video. I just want to see like a written synopsis telling me what happens at the end of that game. I think I know, but I don't need to see it.
Yeah. And that's why I liked Everybody's Gone to the Rapture. I actually, Lou Page, friend of the show, sent me a Slack message and said, hey man, have you picked up Firewatch? And I'm like, well, no, not yet, but I've been thinking about it. And he basically said like, well, did you like Gone Home and Everybody's Gone to the Rapture? Zoe hated both those games. Hey,
yeah,
Zoe,
I can tell.
Pipe down, man. Like, we're trying to do a show. So anyways, and I said, yeah, I love both those games. And he's like, well, Firewatch is for you. So it sounds like if you dig that casual experience but want something that's a little more involved and prettier, and I've been hearing some rumblings about story, but I'm trying not to like figure out what people are saying, because a lot of people like to complain about endings.
Well, I know Matt played it mm-hmm. and liked it. So
okay. Yeah, I saw he was playing it today while I was I had created a bunch of characters, and Jocelyn, you're a psychotic. You're a psychic. You're a psychic in XCOM. You're kind of psychotic. You did kind of make a few people go crazy.
Okay.
But there's some great stuff in XCOM where you have what's called the character pool, and you can create a bunch of characters. So I put like Ashley and Caden in there. I made sure extra careful not to kill those people, and then Jocelyn, I trained her
you're not the front line, and
you're not expendable. Right? No. Nobody's expendable. The way I like to play these games is, and some would consider it cheating, so okay, people. And there's actual support for this. There's in XCOM 1, they didn't have autosaves, but in XCOM 2, if you play on a certain level, they have autosaves for the last three turns. And basically, if something happens, you can rewind time and go back. And there are modes that turn that off, so you can, for those purists that don't like to do that. but, you know, I've trained you as a psychic using psi abilities, so you can, like, make people go crazy.
Force push?
You can force push. You can, like, create these weird bombs that, like, take everybody's ammo and then explode the next turn. It's really cool. But I keep coming back to XCOM because that's all I've been playing. I'm sorry. I really want to play Firewatch, but all I have in the notes here is not Firewatch. XCOM 2 says maybe next week.
Well, I will definitely be playing Firewatch sometime in the next week. I was planning on playing it for tonight, but didn't get a chance because ended up playing Overwatch this afternoon. So,
So spoiler actually, cast next week, spoiler cast.
But yeah, we sure. Yeah, why not?
Let's do it.
But yeah, we were playing Overwatch with all the A-Move guys. It was really, really fun. And so if you want to show your support of A-Move or any of the shows on there, including The Angry Chicken and ITN and your very own favorite TGI, I know we're your favorite guys. I know. Go to bit.ly/A-Move store. We've got really cool stuff. Glassware, lots of like pint glasses, wine glasses, coffee mugs. The ITN coffee mug actually looks really, really cool. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just head on over there and then you can show off some of your A-Move love. bit.ly/A-Move store, which brings us to our topic of the week this week. Which is Overwatch beta is back. And there is a whole ton of new stuff.
Crazy.
Yeah, I got in there this afternoon for the first time since the beta came back, and man, oh man, it's fun. So fun. There's all kinds of really cool, like, unlockable stuff. There's voice packs. They've got this new thing where you can, like, spray paint and, like, tag buildings and stuff. There's skins, obviously. Right now, you get loot crate things for just kind of leveling up so far, I think, is the only thing that I've gotten them for. But when the game actually launches, I believe you're going to be able to spend real money. And they're doing the same thing that they do in Smite, where you will buy in-game currency and then be able to spend the in-game currency on something. So,
but you can earn the in-game currency.
Yes, you can.
Unlike Smite, where there are two types. So, and this is similar to how Mass Effect did it, which is probably the better example, where they had chests that you could buy. But those were items that actually affected gameplay. All the items, yes, you're getting in these loot is cosmetic.
It's only all cosmetic, yeah.
Yeah, cool. That's it, I mean, to see the beta go away for 2 months, and even if you tack on maybe the start of the beta and say maybe this stuff was in the, it's been in the pipeline for a while, but to think like we hadn't seen it until this second push of the beta, like, it's crazy. It's crazy that this is what we get after going away for 2 months. And I don't think anybody will squawk at Blizzard taking a beta into hiatus ever again. Because this is pretty stellar, the amount of... Yeah. And I'm not even in the beta. And that's the last time I'm going to mention it. Sorry, I know there are a lot of people not in the beta.
Yeah.
But
There are more invites going out, though. So, and you can double check. If you don't get an email, it doesn't mean necessarily that you're not in. Mm-hmm. But you can always check your Battle.net account and see if your account has been flagged. So
I was able to patch it. I wasn't able to boot it up.
Oh.
I was like, oh, right, I can patch it. Well, okay, Blizzard, you know what? This will teach you. I'm going to use your bandwidth. Oh, wait, that's not how it works. So cosmetic items, progression. How much of the progression system have you experienced in your play this afternoon?
Not too much. Basically, I'm still only level 7, I believe, is the highest I got today. Okay. 7 and a bit. But I mean, that was like, I got to level 7 after playing for about 3 hours, I guess. So
that's pretty good.
It seems pretty good. I know I was playing with Dills, who was, I think, level 13 or 14, and he played a lot yesterday, so it seems like in a couple days you can get up to the mid-teens in terms of level, so it feels pretty good. I felt like I was playing about 2 matches per level. Like, obviously, like, level 1 to level 2 was, like, 1 match. I was, like, level 2.5 sort of thing, but yeah, once I got to the later levels, it was about 2 matches to level up, so, you know, 2 matches, and every time you level up, you get one of those crates. So I mean, I was satisfied.
Yeah, I was gonna say, this is,
I felt rewarded.
I watched the overview video with Jeff Kaplan sort of talking and made reference to the Heroes of the Storm reward system, where you level up and you gain rewards based on your level, but you know, moving far enough away from that where it's completely different, in that you're getting these rewards for free. You can pay for them, but you're getting them for free based on the fact that you already purchased the game. And I think really it has to go back to Heroes of the Storm, and they have to look at this system and say, like, this is how we can reward our players for playing a bunch of matches besides just giving them currency to buy heroes and skins. Mm-hmm. Or you can't buy skins with currency. You have to buy.
You can't, not yet.
And that's the other thing. And I'm sure this game is going to have premium skins. We've already seen that with the Origin
Edition. Sorry, wait. I feel like you can buy them with in-game currency, but you can't buy them with real money yet. So you have the chance of opening currency actually when you get a loot box, or I keep calling them loot crate, but I think they're loot boxes.
They'd have to be loot box if they called them. Yeah. They do look like crates. I will give you that. And another sort of thumbs up to Blizzard. At least the GIF that they had on the blog post showing the animation of it opening, it's just like, that is satisfying. Yeah. Something that I don't think any other game has besides Hearthstone. Where your reward and getting your reward is in this really cool animated package, as opposed to Smite, where it's this, well, from what I remember, they might have changed it, but it was that really shitty, like, looks like it was a opening chess GIF from, like, the 90s. they might have changed it. I can't remember. Although Paladins had a better one. But anyways, I think it's a really solid addition, and exactly what this game needed in terms of the beta phase to have people stop saying, is this all Overwatch is? Because I think that this is why I want to play this game. Before it was like, I'll play it occasionally with people, but now that I've seen this reward system in place, like, this is that now I'm really excited to pick this game up.
I kind of wish that you couldn't spend real money though to buy in-game currency. Like, I really wish that it was more that basically just like playing the game was more rewarding, I guess, mm-hmm. because I feel like even though it's all cosmetic and whatever, if I'm already paying $40, $50, $60, whatever Overwatch, I can't even remember how much the collector's edition was. I remember it being stupid expensive. But the point is, if I'm dropping a whole bunch of money for a game, I don't want it then to have free-to-play crap layered over top of a regular AAA title price tag. You know? Mm. Like, I wish it was just, you've paid your dollars, this is your Overwatch experience, earn your currency by playing the game,
right?
And then you can buy things. Well, I prefer that.
And that the game will support that, but you're going to have people who want to go in and I'll drop the extra $10 to just get a bunch of chests and get some progress into that skin system. But I feel, and that's not me, that's just, you know, theoretical gamer who doesn't like to wait. I feel like Blizzard's going to be adding a lot of these reward systems. Like, this could be Blizzard's monetization for this game, where it's like,
Like, if I'm already paying a huge price tag, they don't need a monetization model inside the game, or right. They shouldn't.
Well, but then you don't get any free content, like the free heroes and maps and modes that they're promising, and that would be considered DLC.
I would rather them just do DLC then.
But then you're splitting the player base. So that's an issue
I mean, I think new heroes would be fine as DLC, but I don't think maps should be. Although where you can play every hero and you can switch between them in game. I guess like it's difficult because Overwatch is doing something different with the way that you play this style of game where you can switch heroes. But I don't know. It feels like such a money grab and it feels so skeezy. I don't know.
Well, as Jimmy the Shovel in the chat room has stated, like, Blizzard games are never cheap, and I feel like every one of Blizzard's games has an example of making extra money, and those are the games that get supported. I mean, if you look at Diablo, like, I think Diablo is facing a serious shove-off-the-cliff moment where they are going to be done patching that thing for free, and they're either going to come up with some sort of monetization system, or they're just going to come in with a new expansion, which I would love. And I think with Overwatch, I think they're trying the Halo 5 approach, and other games have done it, where it's just, you know, we're going to sell these little packs, which are optional. You can earn them, but you can also buy them, and that will fund our development of new heroes, new maps, and new modes. I think when you offer them as free DLC, and you don't split the player base, you just have a healthier game. If you look at games where they have paid multiplayer DLC, unless you own that DLC, most of the time, it's funny, I booted up Battlefield 4, which is a game that's a year old and had all the DLC, and I could only find matches in games where people weren't playing with DLC because they had split that player base so much. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to see that with this game. I want to see this, and I'm sure Battlefront's going to have the same issue, where no one's paying $50 for that season pass. And,
yeah.
and for people who have, they're going to have a small camp of people to play with in that new content. So it sucks to see them adding free-to-play stuff, but I see the reasoning behind it. We just don't know the pricing, so I might eat my words when they announce, a box costs $5. It's Blizzard stuff. You know, it's like,
And that's the other thing that has me a little bit worried, because if you look at the pricing in Heroes, like, Heroes just feels so expensive, and mm-hmm. it might feel less expensive, and I know we've talked about this before, if they did exactly what they're doing in Overwatch, which is making you buy a big chunk of currency, because, like, my... you know, oh my God, I can't spend money on this game moment when it comes to Heroes always comes when I see that real money price, because I look at that and I go, holy shit, it is $9.99. That's US dollars, which means it's like $15 for me. It's like mm-hmm. to get a new hero to play, I have to spend $15, which is my entire WoW sub. So it just like, I don't know. I'd have to get as much playtime out of each hero as I get out of my Warcraft subscription. And I feel like I would never play Heroes enough to make that worth it. So then I have to grind in-game gold, which is fine, which is what I do. I've been grinding in-game gold. I think I'm up to like 15K now. So now I can buy a new hero. I could buy Li Ming if I wanted.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I understand your frustration, and
I just thought that if Overwatch wasn't going to be free to play, like when they announced Overwatch not going to be free to play, I was like, all right, so it's going to be very much like, I guess Smite, I guess, is the same way too, because Smite you can buy, it's exactly the same as Smite. I don't know. I was looking forward to basically paying a price for Overwatch and having access to all the content. And I do have access to all the content, but I could get more access faster by paying them more money. Mm. I don't know.
Well, you're going to be able to buy skins for your, like, say you really liked, what's your favorite hero in Overwatch right now?
Mercy. I play almost exclusively
okay,
Mercy.
Okay, so you love Mercy. What happens if they come out with a nurse outfit for Mercy similar to in Smite? That's just the first thing that popped in my head, because she's a healer, right? So like they come out with that skin and it costs $15.
But the thing is, like, you don't even have, like, in Smite, I can see my hero. So mm-hmm. having a cool skin in Smite benefits me. It's first person in Overwatch.
Yeah, we had this talk before.
So, like, it might change my gun. Like, everyone else can see how cool I look, but I don't.
So, yeah. So then, I mean, you basically, why would you spend real money to progress your loot crates, your loot boxes? Because you can only see your new stuff in the new mode that they announced, which was, like, the hero gallery or whatever, where you can look at all your heroes and then look at your collection for each hero, which is awesome.
But the thing is, like, even then, you can see all of the skins that are available, not just the skins that you own. So if I can see everything anyway, then really it's just like basically showing off to everybody else and showing them how badass I look. Well, unless I die, in which case I will be able to see how badass I looked while I was flopping over dead.
True. And who doesn't like to see how badass you look when you're flopping around on like a fish?
Right.
Ragdolling.
Those physics sometimes are pretty ridiculous.
So what you're saying is you basically want to play with a bunch of 1%ers who have bought everything so you can see all the cool skins, right?
Exactly. But I myself don't want to buy anything.
Well, hey, and you know what? More power to people like that who don't want to buy. And I'm not going to go in and buy a bunch of stuff. I'll probably go in and progress normally because that's the way I was raised. Back in my day, we didn't pay extra money for little pieces of content. We played the game that we were given. And we blowed into a cartridge for some reason. Did that even work? There are going to be people who will love that system, and there are going to be people like us who just want to play the game and enjoy it. And I think you pretty much nailed it right on the head, where it's like, why would you want a bunch of skins? You can't see your character. Yeah. And the fact that you can just load them up in the gallery, like, okay, perfect. I'll just look at it. Like, even in Heroes of the Storm, like, when you buy that $20 bundle for Li Ming, which I have not done yet, I'm thinking about it, but you can see your character. So, yeah.
Yeah. And even then, I think that the skins are way overpriced in Heroes for exactly the same reason, because you're this big. You're this big on the screen. So you're running around, you're not even like an inch tall, and it's so hard to see. Like, it's really cool when you're waiting for Quick Match. Like, I have a color variation of an ETC skin unlocked. And you can see he's wearing a jacket, and he's got the little Horde symbol all over it.
Right.
And that looks super cool. Can't see it when you're in-game, though.
Yeah. I've been having the same thing where I've been talking about picking up Li Ming and looking at the star bundle where she's dressed like a sort of like Sailor Moon. It looks really cool. Mm-hmm. And I kind of look at it, it's like, that looks really cool. Oh, I'm queuing for a match. And then I forget about it because you look at it, it's like an RTS and it's zoomed out. And really, it's not... I mean, there can be arguments that can be made that you can see it and there is an impact. And if you really like a hero and you want to switch things up, if you're playing Heroes a lot, or if you're playing Overwatch a lot, and maybe even having a different gun and different sound effects would make you want to buy that skin because you're sick and tired of hearing "Cavalry's here" or whatever like she says. I can't remember.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I know what you mean. There's also, which we haven't mentioned yet, a new map. So you can, or like a new game type called Control. So basically, there is a point basically in the middle, and everybody just goes for the point, and you have to try to control it. And you have like a ticker that goes up to 100%, and once you have 100% control, then you win. And then it throws you into a different map. It's best of three, so it throws you into a different map, and then you have to control that point. And and actually, Control, it's interesting. It was a lot of fun. Very much just full on team fight the entire time because you're both trying to be on, like standing in the exact same spot. So it was a little bit hectic. It was definitely, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of different kind of strategies that are going to come out of this playstyle because it is so different. It's not an escort mission. It's literally there is one spot and you have to be in it. So
it's
interesting. It was fun. I'm looking forward to kind of having people figure out some more strategies for it, though, so it's not just like run and die, run and die, run and die.
Okay. Yeah, well, I mean, what did they have, two modes before this one that they just added? They had payload and capture the point or something.
Point, yeah.
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 Well, it's good that they've added a new mode and really, I don't know, like adding yet another mode that can be found in every other first-person shooter, like I kind of thought Blizzard would come up with something a little unique, you know, unless I'm missing something. I've only played maybe two matches of Overwatch, one of each mode. Mm-hmm. And it just didn't feel like Blizzard had applied their spin to it. And I'm hoping at least one mode that is like, this is Blizzard's stamp on first person shooter, arena games. But mm-hmm. I'm not in the beta. Sorry. But for you being in the beta, do you feel like Blizzard's like come up with that yet, or are we still waiting?
I think we're still waiting, but I think there's a whole lot more coming before this actually launches. Like, especially seeing the leaps and bounds they've come just in the last 2 months, I think we'll probably see it go down. I think we might get one more game type before actual launch, and actual launch is going to be in what, June, I think.
Yeah,
we don't
before
have
June.
Before June, yeah. Q2, so
yeah, it's like launching before June 2016. It's like, yeah, you're gonna hit June 30th 2016, Blizzard. We know how you
exactly. But yeah, and I mean, there's a lot of really cool new features in it now, and I think that we're kind of just getting started with this. At least I hope.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is it's a product that is going to be a full product. They've said that this is a big game. It's a beta, people. So,
yeah.
But the amount of stuff they've added to the second phase of the beta is awesome. So I'm looking forward to watching via Twitch what happens next because I'm not in the beta. So,
and I will say, like, it is still stupid fun. Like, I had a really good time. Although I don't think that I would go in by myself. I think I like playing with a full-ish party. I think you need 3 to 4 at least to go in and have some fun. It's very similar to Heroes, or really any game like that.
Cool.
The more friends in your party, the better off you are.
Yeah, I mean, that's that's how I've been sort of playing my multiplayer games. You'll be very happy to hear I played Heroes of the Storm using our new Discord server, just kind of like, you know, I'm gonna play some Heroes. Caden's out of the house with Ashley. I finally got some video game time where I don't have to pause and run away and change a poopy diaper. So I jumped into our Discord server for the patrons, and it's for the patrons only, right? Or is it for everybody? I can't remember now.
There is a general chat section. Mm-hmm. There is a all patron section. There is a $5 plus patron section. And then there's a spot for just you and I.
Oh, is there a link?
Because that's like the live stream type place. Yeah. So we can pull people in. If we're going to be live streaming, you can pull people in there, but they can't just join.
Oh, okay. Well, I used it to see if anybody wanted to play Heroes of the Storm, and it works really well. I mean, you just jumped into the voice, and do we have a link? We need to get a link out there for the randos who want to join, I guess. And we should probably set up some permissions first. That was something Matt was saying.
I think I've got all the permissions set now, but I'm not 100% sure, but still. So yeah, we do have anyone who goes over to patreon.com/thegamersin. There's kind of all the really cool stuff that's going on right now. We have set up a Discord server so you can hang out with us. We've been texting in the little text chat. We've been using it. We used Discord for Ladies Night last night, which is on the Joss Plays Discord server, not the TGI one, but still. Discord has been just super duper awesome for us to kind of connect with everybody else, and so much easier than Skype when it comes to actual voice chat with people.
Yeah,
man, oh man, it's leaps and bounds above Skype. So yeah, if you guys don't have it, you can use it. It's an app on your phone. It is an app you can download to your actual computer. It is also web-based, so if you want to just use it in your browser, you can do that too. It's super super flexible, on the go, keep in touch. I freaking love it. So you guys should all go check out Discord. And then we also have game night tomorrow night. So again, patreon.com/thegamersin. If you guys want to vote on what we are going to play, so far we have a vote for Smite. And I do believe that there is a big Rocket League patch that has just dropped. So I think we're going to get a vote for Rocket League, because there's some new maps that are really, really cool in Rocket League, including one that's basically like a donut.
Oh,
so yeah, I think they're doing some pretty cool things. So
how does that work? There's just like, it's a
you
donut.
Can literally, like, okay, so it's like a donut. Mm-hmm. It's like a big circle. Mm-hmm. And so there's like one goal on one side, and then there's kind of like a pie shape. So there's like one goal on one side of the pie shape, one goal on the other side of the pie shape, but you can drive through the goals, which is what makes it like the donut.
Oh.
So you can basically go from like attacking to defending pretty much instantly, because you can just drive through the goals.
Wow.
It's okay. Pretty cool. Yeah.
I might vote for Rocket League. Although I do enjoy our Smite time. It's pretty much the only time I play is when we're doing TGI game night. But that all sounds fantastic. So if people want to go in there and vote, the post is up there. Patreon.com/thegamersin for sure.
I remember when we first started doing game night, we were really, really struggling for like what we were possibly going to play for multiplayer titles. And now it's just like, oh my God, should we, very, very soon we're going to have Overwatch coming. And then should we Heroes? Should we Rocket League? Should we Smite? Should we all of these crazy different things? Yeah. Depth, like just so many cool titles that are doing really neat multiplayer things. So
it really, as someone who enjoys single player campaigns immensely and would oftentimes toss multiplayer games aside after a few weeks because I wanted to go on to the new campaign, it's really awesome to be playing these multiplayer games with our patrons, because it's just so much fun. It's so much fun to eat people as sharks.
You heard it here first, chat. So I think that pretty much does it for this week on The Gamers Inn. If you'd like to visit us on the web, you can do so at gamersinpodcast.com. You can also find us on Amove TV, along with other fabulous podcasts, including The Angry Nerd, Into the Nexus, Overwatchers, and The Angry Chicken. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GIS Gamer. Ryan is at R. Murphy. I am not a GIS gamer. Oh my God. Talk about
what? Crazy. It's not even in the notes.
It's not even in the notes. I'm just on like super duper autopilot right now. You can find me, Jocelyn, at Joss Plays. Ryan is at R. Murphy. I haven't been GIS gamer for like 6 months. Man.
It still leads to the proper place, but yeah. I totally get where you're coming from.
Also, don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/amovetv. You can also find the show on Facebook and Google+. If you'd like to email the show and let us know about your rage about not getting into Overwatch, Just kidding. I don't want to hear about that, please. No. But if you want to tell me why I'm totally wrong about Unravel, or if you want to tell Ryan how he's totally right about XCOM 2, you can email the show at info@gamersinpodcast.com. So thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn. Remember, tune in next week.
Who said I was wrong? I'm not wrong.